The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus spoke the following parable to some people who prided themselves on being virtuous and despised everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood there and said this prayer to himself: I thank you, God, that I am not grasping, unjust, adulterous like the rest of mankind, and particularly that I am not like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes on all I get. The tax collector stood some distance away, not daring even to raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man, I tell you, went home again at rights with God. The other did not. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The man who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. We are allowed to change the readings for a big feast day, but I chose not to because I felt that what the readings were saying to us today is always relevant, particularly that first bit when we come in, the Lord listens to the plea of the injured party. He doesn't ignore the pleas of the orphan or the widow as she pours out her story. And in a sense, that is what we do. We come in. And when we come in here with so many different things on our hearts and our minds, that's why we go light our candles. It's why we have our bidding prayers, just to try to gather just a few of the important things that are there within us. And we know when we come to the Lord, he hears us. But then, of course, the second reading spoke about Paul finishing the fight and all that, but also the message being proclaimed. The whole building is a message to people outside. I should come back to. And of course, the two men went to the temple to pray. Buildings, a necessary and important part, a mark of human life and activity. The immediate environment is crucial to our existence because it doesn't just affect the way we live, but helps create an atmosphere and an ambience which touches the depths of human feelings, hopes, and aspirations, so that some of the great wonders of the world are buildings, magnificent buildings, achievements of humanity. And so our homes, the roof over our heads, our schools, our hospitals, our places of work, our shops, even the places where maybe we make our leisure, if it's not out on the open fields, and even then we probably need somewhere to change into, buildings, part of the whole fabric of our life as a human. But I reflected as well, you think of the marvelous construction sometimes of a bird's nest. You see them, particularly once the leaves have gone off the trees, wonderful how they build their homes. And of course, we're very privileged, I think, our generation, because they can put television cameras in nests and in boxes and in ants' nests and all that sort of thing. We see the incredible work that we need somewhere, as it were, to live. And so the church, the house of God, is important too. And Vatican II said, when churches are to be built, let great care be taken that they are suitable for the celebration of liturgical services and for the active participation of the faithful. Of course, this predated Vatican II by about 120 years. In the church's life, the environment of our worship is more than just a building with furnishings. It's where we come and celebrate our history. It's where we encounter the presence of God with us. And Emeritus Pope Benedict said these words: at the very center of social life, there must be a presence that evokes the mystery of the transcendent God. God and men, women and children walk together in history. And the role of the temple is to provide the visible sign of this communion with God and humanity. And he went on, the beauty of their design, indeed their very existence, serves as eloquent witness to the whole society of the gospel, of our belief in the mystery of God's saving grace. Because church buildings across the world differ as widely or as varied as are the people that gather in them. And there are places where, but they are places where personal, family, and community memories mingle. And I remember when the font was coming in, back into the church, you see the pictures of it coming in about 3 years ago, Mary John's come and say, my babies were baptized in that. And some of you stood here to be married. And if you're still here, we might lie here on our last journey. But all the things that goes on in life as well, we bring it all, in a sense, to the house of the Lord because we bring it to God. Not that he's locked in the church. He's everywhere. We know that. But we need the house of the Lord in the same way that we need our homes and all the things I spoke about. But not just witnessing to the outside world of the presence of God. They also speak powerfully of the ongoing life and vitality of the church in our own age. When we're looking back the 170 years, we're not trying to capture what happened then because we're doing what they did. We're worshipping God. We're celebrating the Mass, which has always been important to us since Jesus gave it to us. But it's also, we're doing it today. 2013, 27th of October. And we're saying, and that is for the 21st century that this place is there to bring the truth of God. One reason it exists is because it's a place for the people to gather, to celebrate the liturgy, the source and summit of Christian life. But buildings also have a secondary, the church buildings, secondary honoured purpose, which comes into its own, especially when the community is not gathered. Because the building remains not an empty shell, but serving as a physical reminder of the abiding presence of God amongst his people, as the Blessed Sacrament and the light burning is always here to remind us of the Lord's presence always with his people. And it's why, of course, in an ideal world, we'd love to leave our churches open in welcome. We're fortunate we can do that in St. Ives. We couldn't do it in Hale, and you know as well as I do, we couldn't do it here. We'd never get any insurance, and then if like St. Mary's that was set fire to 20 or odd 30 years ago, it can happen in a flash in a place like this. But it should be open in welcome, and the massive colonnades in St. Peter's Square, the great arms reaching out in welcome to the people and also to enfold you. That should be the house of the Lord. And so therefore, it should be of the best possible. And the account in 1856 in the book that was printed then speaks of this very fine, noble edifice that Father Young conceived. Furnished well, cared for and lovingly tended by the people. And so we may sing to the glory of God in the highest, but do we then feel for the smallest coin, if any at all, to offer up for its upkeep? Some of the pictures showing what you always have to do with buildings. It's constant. And when you listen to the news for later today, we think, will the roof be all right after the storm? Because there was water pouring into the roof in Hale last night. But this may be, but it's a very high place. It's very vulnerable. And so, as you know with buildings, there's always that ongoing thing of changing and upkeeping and renewing and refreshing. And always recall, if people are critical of spending money on the church, it was Jesus himself who said that we shouldn't spend... Sorry, he said, the poor will always be with you. You will not always have me. Here is a sign of his presence. And he spoke those words to Judas, who was complaining about the waste of oil when the woman poured it over his feet. And if the house of God was in a sorry state, crumbling, dilapidated, uncared for and kept, what does that say for the people who gather there in it? Is that how we treat our own homes? Well, for some people it may be. But we're not talking of our own home. We're talking about the house of the Lord. And to God be the glory and the greatest glory. Or say with the psalmist, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God of hosts. So it's an ongoing situation. Look around you. And we can never sit back on our laurels and think it's all done. It never is. We need to keep and preserve what's best and keep and preserve for the future. It's a huge statement that Father Young was making in 1843. It was a tiny Catholic population. It was on the edge of the town. Couldn't be built in the town because Catholics couldn't build in the towns. We had to be on the edges. And that's what it was when it was built. But it was a huge statement. You think when you walk round the back and you see this great building there, he was making that great statement. As we move on year by year, we need to recall St. Paul saying, the temple of God is holy. And the most important bit is, that temple, you are that temple. We are the living stones appointed by God, each with our own job to do, to build up the church in every way. So as we celebrate properly today, the question is, what more can I do to build up the Church of God?